Welcome to Synthaholics, and this is your special bonus extra episode. We were at the Buffalo Comic Con this week. Aaron and I were both, David Duncan and Aaron O'Brien.
Hey, returning champions.
Returning champions.
Back to Buffalo Comic Con. We had a wonderful time. I know, Dave, you were running around. You did a panel with podcasting.
We got kind of interviewed.
I was mostly tethered to my table. But why don't you tell about your panel?
Oh yeah, we had a fun little panel. We thought we were going to do like a live podcast for people. It was 11 o'clock in the morning, so right after the con started, we didn't realize it was going to be that early. And we actually had a decent turnout for it to being right when the con opened. Pretty much, we had like a little over a dozen people. And I mean, I know it doesn't sound like a good turnout, but I mean, considering it's a random podcast panel and that it was so early, it was a better turnout than I honestly expected for two local podcasters that may not be huge right now. But we didn't actually do a live show. What happened was we ended up getting a moderator, and they just kind of asked us questions, kind of interview style. So that was a lot of fun, like going back and forth with the interviewer and back and forth with some of the guys from Nerdonomicon. That was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. And we have the Visions Group, which is an art group in the Buffalo area, and we just released our H.P. Lovecraft anthology, which we took a bunch of Lovecraft stories and we converted them into comic books. I have a short story in there of my artwork, Cats of Ulthar. I was promoting that, and then also just my other art and comic projects.
Yeah. I was running around. We didn't have any Star Trek celebrities this time, unfortunately, but I was looking for people who'd seen Discovery and talking with them, but we also had some other kind of big people in the nerd geek culture. We had the Harp Twins, who play beautiful renditions of, you know, heavy metal, the Star Trek opening theme, Game of Thrones opening theme, different TV show opening themes, beautiful renditions of those. We've got them on the show talking about what they do. And I also spoke with cosplayer and model Holly Wolf just about geek stuff, nerd stuff. And then most other conversations are Star Trek related, but I definitely wanted to get a chance to talk with these people because they were amazingly nice and friendly and warm, and they were super awesome to talk to. And I hope you guys enjoy our talks with them and the other patrons of the con.
Right, right. I just remember your conversation. I don't think you recorded, but with Eric Roberts. And
yeah, I was asking him if he remembered if he had any update on what was happening with Star Trek Captain Pike. I didn't record it because I was waiting for him to find out if he had any updates, and he didn't even remember it.
So he was apparently playing the Doctor and Captain Pike, which was a Kickstarter or Indiegogo?
It was Indiegogo.
And there was going to be a fan film about Captain Pike. It looked exciting. It was during the time of Axanar.
And Eric just kind of went down in fire, I think, with all that stuff that happened.
Yeah, Eric Roberts is most notable. He plays one of the mobsters in the Dark Knight movie, where Two-Face gets in the car with him and he crashes the car when he flips the coin and shoots the driver. So,
yeah.
But whatever.
We didn't get an interview with him, but I did speak to him briefly, and he didn't remember anything about Captain Pike. He's like, I've done 30 movies this year. He's like, I don't know.
That's hilarious.
I just thought that was,
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know, I guess that just totally fell through and nothing happened with it, so that's a shame.
Well, we
hope you enjoy the interviews that we got from Buffalo Comic Con.
Well, I'm here at the Buffalo Comic Con, and I'm with
Emma Bruce.
Emma Bruce, nice to meet you.
Hello.
So, you got to see the Star Trek Discovery opener. Did you watch both episodes?
Yes. I got into Star Trek like a decade ago, and I've been waiting for this forever. So yes, I watched the both of them.
Awesome, awesome. So what did you think? What were your initial reactions?
I was a little nervous. I wanted to like it, but I was also nervous. I think overall, I really enjoyed how that went. I kind of miss like the look of some of the old Star Trek sort of pieces, but you know what? It's been long enough. Star Trek kind of deserves a good budget.
It is beautiful. I mean, I think they're even like outdoing Game of Thrones a little bit.
Yeah, I've seen like the first season of The Expanse. It almost like some of the budget almost kind of looks like that.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. Do you have any favorite characters yet?
Favorite characters, it's hard to say because I don't know any of them yet. Sarek is doing a good job. I miss
Frank, yeah.
Yeah. I miss my my pointy-eared, I miss my awful bowl-cut space elves.
They are space elves.
Yes.
So what would you consider Ferengi?
Space
dwarfs?
Space bats? I don't
dwarfs?
Know. I don't totally know.
Well, because they're all about money.
True. Yeah,
like,
I could
like,
be.
Like dwarves are.
Yeah.
And the Klingons are orcs.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Awesome. So, are you looking forward to tomorrow night's episode?
Yes. Yeah. Well, this is going to be... We're actually going to be on the Discovery now.
Finally.
Yes.
Like, I love the first two episodes. I just feel like even though I've seen the first two episodes,
yeah,
I still haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, but it's like, it's the setup, it's the opener that, you know, sets up the rest of the premise. I mean, I think it's the first Star Trek pilot that I've seen that, like, was actually solid. Like, the first episode of Voyager, of Deep Space Nine, of Next Gen, were kind of rocky. I feel like, despite the fact that it wasn't, like, what we're going to be seeing for the rest of the season, or that I know of, it felt really solid. And I hope it goes that way the rest of the way.
Yeah, me too. I'm super excited. Do you have any predictions or hopes for episode 3?
Oh, predictions, hopes. Not necessarily that I can say. I'd like to maybe take the pace back a little bit. Like, Star Trek, for the most part, is like a lot of... I don't know. I remember Star Trek being a lot of everybody standing around talking, trying to figure out moral quandaries or why is the engine broken? Different things. That it's like, space battles are awesome, but I hope it's not the whole series.
Well, the first season they've said is going to be the war, and
yeah,
Alex Kurtzman's been talking about how season 2 is going to be more of after the war. So
yeah,
hopefully it'll get more...
Discovery-ing.
Yes, more discovery-ing. Well, with the ship being called, with this register number 1031, do you think Section 31 is going to play into this at all?
You know, I don't know. It's probably not off the table. I remember seeing something that apparently it wasn't going to be involved, but I think that had to do with the first season, so...
Because the one line in all the trailers, you hear Michael Burnham saying, what's going on with this ship? Like, something weird's going on, which makes me think that maybe it is a Section 31 ship, and she's not privy to that.
It could
be. And they're keeping her in the dark, which would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how she ends up being a major character in the show, if she's sort of imprisoned for life for causing a mutiny. I'm not sure. How is she going
that's
to end up being the officer
that's
again?
That's exactly what I want to know. How does she become first officer after being sentenced to jail? Does Captain Lorca just love her that much?
Or that, like, something happens or she's caught in the middle of something and says, hey, you know.
Is she going to field promotion, the first officer? Is his first officer going to die? I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm
so excited.
Voyager
was very particular circumstances that got all the you know, renegades
lots
to bond.
Of,
yeah,
lots of field promotions in Voyager, but you didn't.
Yeah,
really
but
know
but
the
you're
characters.
Right there. But you're like right there. You're still right in the Alpha Quadrant with Discovery. So
yeah,
there's other people who could serve as an officer. It's interesting. I'm trying to figure out like what exactly she did that caused the war. I know she did the mutiny, but from what I remember, she didn't actually get the chance to fire first.
She shot Takuvma. Well, she did a self-fulfilling prophecy where she's like, we've got to kidnap Takuvma and disgrace him.
Ah.
If we kill him, it'll be a holy war.
Okay.
And that's basically, she kind of did a self-fulfilling prophecy.
She caused, okay, because I figured this, like, landing on the beacon and killing the first Klingon in self-defense, that's a very Star Trek thing to do. Anybody would have done that. But she didn't get to do anything from the mutiny. And I suppose, yeah, Takuvma, I could see that, if Starfleet found out about that, yeah, I could see that being a problem.
She probably had to give a full debrief.
Yeah,
so
that's true. Yeah, I almost forgot that little detail. It was all happened at once.
It
and
did
it was,
feel really quick, though.
Yeah,
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're at the Buffalo Comic Con, and I just run into the Harp Twins.
Hey, how's it going? Hello, it's Camille and Kennerly, the Harp Twins.
If you haven't heard of these guys, they are absolutely amazing. They do amazing renditions of heavy metal and hard rock, and even they've even done Star Trek covers via harp.
We did the Next Generation.
Yeah, we did the theme for that.
And we put a little bit of
the TOS theme at the end, just to get a little bit of it in there. We were worried people complain.
We knew people would be disappointed. So.
But yeah, we went out. We wore like Command Gold outfits, and we went out and filmed this kind of bare and cool landscape.
We didn't want
to
die.
Actually, we had to go off planet to film that one.
I feel like you shoot at a lot of like barren, like broken down urban-esque places. They're just stunningly beautiful.
Yeah. No, we have a video for it on YouTube, so if you look up Harp Twins Star Trek, you can find it there.
I will absolutely find it. I actually stumbled across you guys finding one.
Oh, nice. One. Awesome.
And I just loved the way it sounded, the percussion against the harp.
Thank you. We've got a bunch of Metallicas, but I think our one was probably our Metallica cover. That was the most viewed.
It's our most viewed video now. Yeah, it's over 6 million views just for that one.
Because that's where I saw it. Because I was on Facebook and I pulled it up and then I started listening to your
Oh, yeah.
Your
a bunch of people have stolen it.
I know.
Themselves
it keeps
on Facebook.
It keeps being freebooted on Facebook. So.
But it's an amazing rendition. I love... Like, have you heard of the piano guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I never seen instruments played like that where they do percussion on the instruments. And I saw you guys do it with one. I was like, yes, I love that.
But did they use their feet as percussion?
Because we kicked the harp.
No.
Yeah, because we invented kicking the harp.
We invented
that. Everyone's always, like, worried about the harp. They're like, oh, are you damaging the harp?
But in reality, my foot actually split it.
I didn't put my heel through the harp, so no, it's fine.
Actually, the harp is a lot sturdier than we are. She split her open. She was bleeding all down the harp.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Okay, our only concern was for the harp.
Get the blood off. I'm sure it looks like someone was murdered on there.
Yeah, they used a black light.
Murder harp.
Blood in the harp.
That's so awesome. I was talking to you guys a little bit off, like you haven't seen Star Trek Discovery yet, but are you excited for the new Star Trek show?
Oh, so excited.
Isn't Sonequa Martin Green in it?
Yeah, she is, because
we're big Walking Dead fans. And so, unfortunately, we're way behind in
and every show that we love.
Every show and movie.
I can't wait. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of The Walking Dead, you two were actually in The Walking Dead.
We did. We had a cameo in the season 6 finale.
Greg Nicotero designed a role where we played the same walker, and one of us had a kind of clean walker face, and one of us had a face that could rip off. And so
a
prosthetic, and they could switch us in and out so that the actress could get multiple takes. So that was really fun.
We were killed by Carol.
We were killed, yeah, stabbed in the head.
I mean, just speaking since they use you as twins to play the same part, do they employ a lot of twins on Walking Dead?
No. We met Greg many years ago, actually, to Walker Stalker Con. We played for his birthday party there.
And he had said, he wanted to use us somehow.
It would be so cool to somehow use you as a walker. And so he actually just came up with the idea to do it.
Yeah, he said, you know what, this would be really cool to use the same person
as
one
walker.
They later
on used twins in a different episode. It was supposed to be us, but they kept changing the film date, and then
we were performing. It
was amazing.
We still got our moment on The Walking Dead.
We could still fangirl on set.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fantastic, and like I just think it's strange that they didn't do that from the get-go, because it seems like that would be the way to go to get multiple takes.
They used to use, I think, a lot more people for some of the hero walkers, the ones you see, but now they actually tend to use the same actors because they really need a specific look and a type.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But y'all invented that too.
Yep.
The first twins.
The first twin walkers on The Walking Dead.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, so nice to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm here with Michelle Cromwell.
Hello.
Of Cromwell's Curiosities here at Buffalo Comic Con.
Hooray.
Tell us about what you do.
I make handmade jewelry, and my husband sells skulls and plasma statues and cool stuff.
Very cool. The stuff here at your booth is absolutely gorgeous.
Thanks.
But we met last year.
Yep.
At the Buffalo Comic Con.
Yes, we did.
And you are indeed a Trekkie.
Oh my God, yeah.
And you've seen Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
First impressions, what do you think?
I really like the Klingons. I think they look like drow, but I'm kind of okay with that.
Very angry drow.
Yeah, very angry drow. I like their noses. The four nostril thing is just really kind of cool, but it makes me wonder, like, what happened. I have the suspicion that all the things that make the Klingons look more human came from the flat-headed Klingons that they don't talk about and we haven't seen in Discovery yet, but we have been told they exist.
I want to see a smooth head next to him.
I know. I was waiting for him. I was looking for him in the scene.
Me too. I was like, where are the smooth heads? There's got to be. Where's Kang and Kor and Koloth?
There's this one song called The USS Make Shit Up, and it's about the writers of Star Trek, and it's the most hilarious song that you have ever heard. And it has a line about the Klingons look like Puerto Ricans and dressed in gold lame. So I'm half Puerto Rican, so I found that hilarious because I like shiny things too. But I swear to God, in that scene, I was looking for the gold lame. Yeah. I really was.
Looking for the gold patches, but they get this Egyptian thing going.
I know, and either like a funny little hat or something, but nothing.
No, I really want to see how they're going to move it forward. Because from everything I've read, there's like a time gap in between the second episode and the third episode that's coming out on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any, like, ideas and predictions for what's coming?
Oh, God, probably a whole lot of people just being mean for no reason whatsoever. Because it's like...
Oh, being mean to her?
Yeah, because I watched the preview for the next episode, and it's like everybody is so mad at her, and it's kind of like, dude, this would have happened no matter what. Like, whoever gave you your information is not giving it accurately.
Well, I think she thinks she started the war, and I think she takes credit for starting the war and the court-martial, the parts that we don't see, because it was her self-fulfilling prophecy that she's like, if we kill Takuvma, then we start a war. If we capture him, we can, you know, disgrace them and, you know, there'll be no war. She self-fulfilled her own prophecy.
She did.
And then I imagine she took credit for it.
Oh, I'm guessing Starfleet. That she did. Because...
But the thing is, I feel like the Klingon, I think war would have happened at that point no matter what.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
That was the whole point of
them showing up.
The Klingons being there.
Yeah.
They're at the beacon to summon all the other Klingon houses to them. Mm-hmm. So they were there to rile up trouble anyway.
Yeah.
Which is very Klingon-like to do, just rile up trouble. It's been 100 years. Let's go poke the Federation.
I also thought that they were really like Drow in the fact that when they died, the capsules attached themselves to the outside of the ship like a spider web with like bugs trapped in it.
Yeah,
it was really
cool.
But for 1 second, can we talk about the lighting during the court-martial?
That's the weirdest use of... I mean, like, it's...
But did you notice what it did to her? Nobody else noticed this except for me, I swear to God, because I've told this to 4 people and nobody noticed it. The light's coming down on her, straight down.
Yeah.
So her head is lit. And her nipples. Boink, boink!
I gotta go rewatch that.
You really need to. And all of you who are hearing this, you really need to go do it too, because honestly, I have no idea what happened in that scene. I was laughing so hard. And my husband's all like, what is your ish? How do you not see this?
I just thought it was weird that the Federation Council was shrouded in darkness.
Yeah, that was really weird.
I'm like, are they really Section 31 and not telling her? Like, if they're Section 31, that makes sense. But this just seems like a regular Federation court martial.
I know, and it's
in the dark.
But the thing is, it's like, they weren't really in the dark. So if she squinted, she couldn't see who they were. I mean...
You know, this is on a play platform. Maybe we'll just get more than lit nipples too close.
I really hope so.
I hope so, too.
It's kind of making me laugh, though, because...
Although, I think it was funny that her, like, she was wearing, like, that bandage bikini. I'm like, she wore... I joked on the last podcast, like, she wore itsy bitsy, teeny weeny, tan, brown bikini.
Jesus, she really did, though.
But it was like, why? That's such a weird...
It was kind of like that moment.
It's because they knew the first episode had to be televised. They had to.
Yeah, that's true. But it's also like that moment in the Star Trek movie where suddenly the girls in like green Victoria's Secret, just for no reason whatsoever, like he turns around, boom, there she is, for no reason.
Oh, you know.
And then he turns back.
It's for Kirk.
Yeah, I know. Well, see, the funny thing is that I'm all like, Victoria's Secret has not made that line in 20 years.
But they should start again.
They really should. It was a beautiful line.
Oh, man. So, like, what was probably your favorite part about the first episode? Or the first, let's call it the first episode, first 2 episodes. Honestly, those 2 together are the pilots.
Yeah.
Splitting them up was a big mistake. I don't know why they did that.
I know. Well, you know, the bad thing is that, like, literally I'm like Statler and Waldorf all rolled into one. So the husband hates watching stuff with me. But I think that my favorite part was probably when the captain bounced back from the Vulcan nerve pinch, like, immediately. It's like the floor was a trampoline. It's like she hit it and bounced back up.
My reasoning behind that is just that maybe she can't deliver as powerful as a Vulcan can.
That's
Vulcans are supposed to be stronger.
That's really true.
So maybe she didn't like a partial knockout, not a full knockout, you know?
Like, I had never really thought about the strength being a factor in that. I just figured that since she'd mind-melded with Sarek, she would know how, but that makes a whole lot more sense than what was going on in my head.
Because, you know, in martial arts, I mean, there's partial knockouts that'll just throw you on the ground, but then there's full knockouts which will make you sleep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe she's only strong enough to do a partial neck pinch, which partially knocks them out. So,
or maybe she missed.
Maybe. Maybe the Captain Georgiou just so good, she just, like, faked it.
I know.
She faked it so she could catch her and mutiny, which is really strange.
She's all like, you didn't know I was part Vulcan. Bounce. Okay.
I just feel like if she had lived, though, if Georgiou had lived, that maybe she Michael wouldn't have been court-martialed. Because I think at that point she kind of understood where she was coming from.
Yeah.
But just, like, the immediate act of mutiny and not looking weak to your crew.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, deal with it. Because, you know, in Voyager, you know, like, mutiny, I mean, Janeway and Chakotay would mutiny each other every other episode, and then they'd still be best friends for the whole rest of the series.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah, they tend to do that with, like, male-female relationships and male-male relationships, but not female-female, and I'm not entirely sure why. But they do a lot of things in Star Trek that are kind of weird. Like, they said that they hadn't encountered the Klingons for hundreds of years.
That doesn't make any sense.
That makes no
Archer
sense.
Archer ran into them with the one Federation ship that worked, like, a dozen times.
I know. And Michael's supposed to be, what, 25? So they must have been around, what, 22 years ago?
Well, the deal was it was in Vulcan territory. Because that's why Sarek took her in.
Oh,
because her parents and her were there in Vulcan territory. Her parents died in Vulcan territory, which is why Sarek.
But the Vulcans never reported it.
The Vulcan, you know, Enterprise. Vulcans are really nice to humans.
Yeah,
they're like, humans died. Eh. We'll just adopt the daughter and make her better than those stinking humans. Because they literally spell bad.
That really is funny, though. The thing that kills me about Michael is that in the beginning, this is a thing that they do in movies, and it bugs the crap out of me. She's all totally put together, and she has straight hair. And now she's unsure of herself and her decisions, and all of a sudden she has curly hair. And it's like they use it as symbolism for a scattered mind. And I have curly hair, and they have a scattered mind. I'll be the first to admit it. But I'll also admit that not everybody is like that.
I don't think that's what they're going for. I think she's straight hair. She's a, you know, a second, first officer, second in command.
Yeah. But it was more of a Vulcan haircut.
It was more of a Vulcan haircut. But then now she's been removed from that situation. She's been in prison. Maybe she can't go to the nicest salons. You know, she's got a, you know, I haven't met Ferengis yet. I'm trying to think of, like, maybe she's got a Tholian doing her hair, and her Tholian just frizzes her hair with all the heat. I don't know.
Anything at this point. I will grasp at anything.
So, I mean, like, I just feel like she doesn't get to see her doc, her barber. So that's
yeah, probably not.
That's why her hair is all, like,
well,
curly.
It still looks fab, but just made me laugh. I'm all like, really, guys, with the curly hair?
So, my favorite part of the two-parter was when the Admiral talks to Takuma, and Takuma's like, yeah, I'll send you my envoy, just wait for it, it's coming,
I
promise. And then, like, another ship that was there all along is cloaked. It looks like a boat, because it's got that, like, sharp,
flat
edge. Okay,
did that remind you of that part in Game of Thrones when Euron just showed up and, like, plowed into them? Because I'm all like,
it looks like an axe or a boat.
It really
just, like,
did.
The front of a boat that's underwater that cuts through the water, just cut through the Europa, like a pizza.
I know. It was funny, though, because, like, they did that, and I'm all like, finally. Finally, they've used the cloaking to ram somebody.
I thought that was awesome.
It really was.
The ship was there all along.
I was cheering for the wrong side, and I'm not sure I felt bad about it. Like, I'm really
not sure. The Admiral actually wasn't the bad guy.
I know.
He seemed like a decent person.
I know.
Maybe this is why
he was like the one smart guy.
Maybe this is why admirals all turn to, you know, assholes after in every other iteration of Star Trek. Admirals are always terrible people. Maybe this incident is what causes that.
How often does an admiral have his own ship? That was one of my questions. Like,
well, he's probably a fleet admiral, not a regular admiral.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree with that. But, like, I don't know, because we've never really seen an admiral on a ship before. And I kind of got excited about it. Well, like, run around ships, but not, like, actually be in command, I don't think. Unless they were doing...
There's a couple times in Next Gen where admiral.
Yeah, I was about to say. But wasn't it, like, a forward... forward thing in
I don't
the
know if they
future.
Were actually command. I think they were just kind of there.
I'm so bad. I'm
but
so rusty.
But on the Excelsior class ship, you see their admirals come and go on that ship a lot.
Yeah, that's
let's,
true.
Yeah, let's send the admiral around on a 100-year-old ship.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, Captain Picard just got this like brand new Galaxy class ship.
I know.
And you send admirals in on a 100-year-old ship.
Maybe it was his ship. We don't know.
It's been passed down for generations.
No, he's all like, I bought this sucker, it's mine.
And if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a wagon.
They're all like, hey, look at the admiral in his jalopy.
It's like sputtering in space.
Oh my God, yeah, really, that was pretty funny.
But yeah, the first episode, I mean, it's great. I don't feel, except I don't feel like I've seen any Star Trek yet. I feel like I still haven't seen any of it yet. Did it leave you feeling that way, too?
It really did. And the whole thing was like, why is the bridge so dark? Why are they in the dark? Because the only other place that the bridge has ever been dark is, like, in Dark Mirror when they're on the emergency bridge.
Well, they give. Well, it's movie lighting.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Generations...
Yeah, it's the same type of lighting.
It's the same Enterprise that we've seen for 7 seasons of television.
But it looks so different on a big screen and on TV because the TV's reflective, I think.
Yeah, but it's so dark. I mean, it's dark. I mean, Next Gen. I mean, you watch it at home. I mean, you go from Next Gen to the movie, and the Data's quarters are almost pitch black. It's like a spotlight on his...
Does Data actually need light, though?
I'm sure his eye receptors need something, unless it functions on it.
Except he's probably memorized his entire room by, you know...
First time you look at it.
Micro whatever. So, like, I can't move an inch, I'll bang into this thing. Oh, crap, there's a cat.
The cat's always there.
The cat's everywhere.
The cat's always there, the rogue.
I know.
The rogue variable. And he needs the lights specifically only for the cat, so it doesn't kill it.
I know, seriously.
The data's probably really heavy.
Yeah, I've kind of thought about that a couple times. It's like, hey, you're a metal man.
You have a cat.
Like, the most well-behaved cat on the ship, I like to add. Except for the one episode when Geordi borrowed him.
Oh, and when Spock had to babysit. Oh, no, not Spock. When Worf had to babysit it.
Oh, was it Worf?
Worf had to babysit it.
I just listened to a podcast about it, and they said Geordi. So somehow, in my mind, it got mixed back to Geordi.
There might have been a separate time where Geordi did it, but I know for sure Worf was in charge of babysitting Spock at least once.
Oh, that's hilarious. All I remember is that when George...
Originally with pets, right? Yeah, I had a Targ.
When the Targ showed up on the ship that one time, and he's all like, it's my childhood friend, and Yara's all like, that's a kitty cat, and he's all like, kitty cat!
I just wonder how his parents went about getting a Targ.
I know, I'm like, really? Is it just running loose in Russia?
Like, go to Kronos, and like, can I have a Targ, please? My son wants I have a Klingon son, and they're like, how did he not get demanded back whenever... They told the Klingon person selling Targs that I've got a Targ.
I know. Well, the thing that kind of cracks me up is that, you know, the original Klingons from the first generation, from the original series were supposed to be from a planet named Kling.
I'm so glad they didn't call it Kling. Although,
are they going to bring it up? Are the flat-headed Klingons from Kling? Because the flat-headed Klingons were from Kling. And everybody else is from Kronos. So is that going to make a difference? Or am I just wishing?
I don't think Kling's going to show. I hope it doesn't.
If it does, I'm going to die.
But the thing is, the way the Klingon language works is that Klingon, the last part of Klingon is N-G-A-N, if you look at it, the spelling in Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
And Nang means inhabitant. So in the episode, you heard them saying, like, Tarak Nan, and, like, Andoric Nan.
Mm-hmm.
So the inhabitants of Andoria, inhabitants of Earth, or Terra. So Klingon, technically, by that standard, the planet should be called Kling.
That's hilarious. They're all like, the humans laughed at us too much. No.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to Michelle.
No problem.
We're here at the Buffalo Comic Con. I'm David. I'm here with Holly Wolf.
Hello. How's it going?
She's a professional cosplayer.
Yes.
Model.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Ooh, okay. Well, I dress up for a living. It's a grand time. I take lots of photos. But yeah, I would say I'm also like a social media influencer. So I work a lot with brands online. I model for a lot of companies like Maxim, Playboy, FHM, a lot of big magazines, and also for clothing and yeah, some makeup here and there and wigs and that kind of stuff. And then also, of course, cosplay. I make a lot of my own costumes, and whatever I don't make, I do get, like, commission from a lot of my friends, so I love putting together epic cosplays and shooting them with all the photographers that I know.
That's awesome.
Thank
your cosplays are incredible. You did a battle cami yesterday, which
yes.
was fantastic.
Thank you.
Latex outfit.
Cammy is one of my favorite characters of all time, so far I've cosplayed 2 versions of her, and I plan on doing the original soon.
Awesome.
And a few others. So
that's
yeah.
fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Your profiles also say you're a gamer. You have any,
yes.
What are your favorite games?
Oh well, I'm a huge RPG person. I'm very typical girl gamer type. I would say I grew up with like Final Fantasy and Legend of Zelda and lots of Nintendo. Ooh, okay, I love 7 and 10.
7, yes.
7 and 10 are my favorite. When E3 announced that they were remaking 7, I cried. And I was working in a beautiful mansion in LA, and my friends were like, "What's wrong with you?"
I'm crying because it's never going to come out.
Oh, no.
Well, like, they're saying like 2020 now.
Oh, yeah.
They announced it, what, 2 years ago?
Like, yes, it was. Oh, I remember vividly. I was shooting in lingerie in a house, and I was watching the trailer for it, and I started tearing up, and my friend, like one of my Playmate friends, was like, what's wrong, Holly? And I was like, they just announced that they're remaking Final Fantasy VII. And she was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, it's a lot, all right?
It's one of the most beautiful games ever made.
It's so wonderful.
In tone, the story, it's great piece of science fiction.
Exactly.
It's so good.
So
good.
So amazing.
And the thing is, at 2020, we're probably looking at next console. It probably won't even come out on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, exactly.
PlayStation 5
yeah,
at that point.
Push it back.
Which means I'll have to push it back further because I'll have to rebuild it for the new system.
I don't
like
mind.
They did with Final Fantasy
15, yeah, which was originally 13
versus. Yeah. It's like, that was a cop-out. That's not even really 15. Like,
exactly.
Give us a real 15 first.
Exactly. Lies.
Lies. You just reskinned an old game.
Exactly.
A really old game.
Yeah. No, I love video games. Like, and of course, I'm a huge Zelda fan. Right now, I'm wearing
Zelda.
My Breath of the Wild Zelda.
Woo.
It went super viral. It was amazing. So,
have you beaten it yet?
I have not.
I'm still working on it, too.
I just got all 120 shrines, though.
You've got me beat. You're further ahead than I am.
I'm trying to go for, like, super 100% completion. I'm taking my sweet-ass time. Because I do a lot of modeling, a lot of traveling, and a lot of cosplaying, like, I just built Link's Guardian Armor for Fan Expo last month, and that took me a long time. And I only went in the game for a good month to look at his outfit. And then I shut the game off again.
Yeah.
So I just started playing again and doing all the shrines. So,
you get Mario Odyssey when that comes out?
Yes, I will be.
Later this month. We're in the month that it's released now. It's October 1st
now.
I know.
I'll definitely
Fantastic.
Play it. Mario's not one of my favorite series, but
they look like they made it like a collect-a-thon like Zelda, though.
It looks good.
It does look like a collect-a-thon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yesterday we talked, you said you are a fan of Star Trek a little bit?
A little bit, yes.
What is your favorite series?
Oh, I don't know. I can't even tell. Like, I'm not that much of a fan. My parents are huge Trekkies. When I was
That's
a kid...
That's how we all get into it.
When I was a kid, my God, I was constantly like, can we watch something else? Can we not watch Deep Space Nine? Can we not watch Voyager? Okay, thank you. Like, it was so crazy. I don't know. I love the Borg. So I really love 7 of 9.
Oh, 7 of 9.
Yeah,
have
so
you done a 7 of 9?
I haven't. I've wanted to.
You should totally do a 7 of 9.
I was thinking about, I don't know which one of her outfits to do, because she's got a few really nice ones. Some more, I was thinking about doing her classic silver and like a latex, but then she's also got this beautiful textured like blue outfit that she wears. I was like, I was seriously researching for a little bit. I'm like, I need to do 7 of 9.
Did you research what Jeri Ryan talked about with her, how her outfit worked?
No.
Like, there's an article online. I'll try to send it to you.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, they were talking the way her breasts looked. They had under the costume, like under where the ribbing was, there's breast mounts. So they had to lock one in one, lock one in the other. In the other.
Just so that there's all that definition.
All that separation.
I was like,
wow, that seems really hardcore.
Yeah, that's
definitely
a lot of work.
Definitely have a lot of help going to the bathroom.
Ultimate cosplay, like literally, always. Yeah.
Well, same thing kind of with T'Pol. She also had the...
Yeah, you're right. Neck
to head bodysuit.
Ugh. I know the struggle.
Yep. That's awesome. But are you going to check out New Discovery?
Yeah.
You'll check it out?
I'll check it out.
It's been pretty good. The first two episodes was like a movie.
Ooh, what?
I mean, like, the special effects were incredible.
They're
almost on par with the recent movies, Beyond and Dark.
Wow, okay. I'm actually seeing my parents today, so I'll talk to them about it when I see them, because I'm sure they've watched
it. Episode 3 comes on tonight.
Oh, okay. Is it every Sunday?
Every Sunday on All Access.
Oh, okay.
On their streaming platform. Although in Canada, it's different.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm from Canada. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm not sure.
Our TV is different.
All Access is a streaming platform.
It's probably Space. We have Space Channel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably on Space.
I'm sure your parents will know if they're
they'll know. I'll ask them. I'll be like, yo, nerds.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, Holly. It's so great meeting you.
Thank you, of course. Thank you so much.
I'm here with Red Skull and Harley Quinn. I hear from my friends at the Nerdonomicon that you're Star Trek fans.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Never knew. That's so awesome that you guys are into that. Have y'all seen Discovery yet?
No, because they aren't showing it in the U.S. unless you subscribe to CBS's stupid service. Grr.
And I recorded it, but it was preempted by 20 minutes by 60 minutes!
That is
so infuriating. So I couldn't watch the end, so I didn't watch it.
That was the most... That was the worst lead in the Star Trek they possibly could have done.
Yes.
Why did they show 60 minutes and not just air it right after the football game? Because that 60 minutes was so divisive and, like, so channel TV turning offing material.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad. The reason it's on CBS All Access is because it looks like a movie, though. It looks absolutely incredible.
We wouldn't know.
The trailer.
The trailer's only so much.
But they do show off the special effects quite heavily. But, okay, what's your favorite Star Trek series?
Next Generation.
Next Gen?
With the original series, close second.
Close second? Not a Deep Space Nine fan?
What?
Not a Deep Space Nine fan?
I gave it 2 seasons and I said, that's it.
I liked some of the arcs in DS9, but it wasn't consistent enough to keep watching. I actually, you know, if I was going to watch, sci-fi and on a space station, I was sticking to Babylon 5.
Well, that's the thing. Deep Space Nine's got a super slow burn start, but once season 4 starts and you get Worf, it's like full speed ahead. Actually, season 3 even gets a little bit better when they get to Defiant. But the first 2 seasons are painful to watch. Admittedly, even though it's my favorite series, the first 2 seasons are painful.
I think it took a while for them to really find their stride with it.
It did, but TNG, the first 2 seasons aren't great either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you've got episodes like Code of Honor.
2 words. Wesley Crusher.
But then you have Jake Sisko as the Wesley Crusher of Deep Space Nine.
Same thing.
Yeah.
He wasn't in your face.
But he wasn't a Mary Sue, though.
Either.
He wasn't Mary Sue.
He wasn't Mary Sue. He was. He wanted to be a writer because that's what...
He wanted to be something different than Dad, and that's fine.
His dad likes baseball.
Baseball, yay! Yeah, there's a whole baseball episode later on.
I think I saw that one. Baseball.
Yeah, he overdid the baseball thing. But I did like the baseball episode only because, Worf is there, and they're trying to play baseball with a Klingon and Ferengis, and none of them get it. And, it's funny.
Actually, I liked Enterprise a lot.
Enterprise is one of my favorites as well. I think that's my third favorite.
I'm in the minority. I liked it, too. And a lot of people I knew ragged it, and I'm like...
I don't understand why people ragged it.
I know. I don't either. I thought it was done very well.
The only thing people say is that, well, I hate Scott Bakula because he's a Quantum Leap. And I'm like...
You can't do that.
This isn't Quantum Leap.
You can't do that.
This isn't Quantum Leap.
He was very likable as Archer.
I liked him.
Yep. He was very likable. I found him believable. I didn't see, his other characters. And he's done a lot of stuff.
He has. I haven't seen him, but like I love him as Archer. And I thought Star Trek Enterprise got shafted.
Yeah, it
only,
did.
Only
it,
4 seasons, and the last episode was a TNG episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a holodeck episode at that.
Yeah, I know, right?
That I know was a lot of people up. Started going off because, oh, you made the hot female Vulcan.
Yes, it's a tight soul.
Why can't Vulcans be hot?
And she was smart, and she had a lot of other qualities besides being hot.
And she was loyal. I mean, like, she could have, like, at the first episode, she could have taken the ship because she was in command when Archer got shot. But she kept on with what he wanted. So she was loyal, even though she thinks humans smell bad.
Right.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed that. DS9 was good. Like I said, I gave it a few years, and even when Worf came out, it didn't really... You know, appeal to me any much more. You got the same stale characters. They were seemed more one-dimensional the longer they went. I didn't enjoy it as much.
I don't know. I feel like Julian Bashir has got the biggest arc of any character in Star Trek.
Oh, yes.
You despise him to death in the first season because he's a panty chaser, the entire first 2 seasons. And then, like, you find out he's an augment. And then it's like, oh, and then that's why he's smart, and that's why he does all the things that he does. And I love it when he doesn't hold back that he's an augment. He's, like, doing 3PO-like statistics in his head.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, and he was very unlikable when you first hit him, when you first saw him. And he did grow and he did develop his character that he, you know, became, I don't want to say, like you said, more dimensional. They brought more elements to him. He wasn't just a skirt chaser. He wasn't just a jerk. Because he came across as very, what's the word I'm looking for? Can I say certain words?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, he was an asshole. He was just like, he's the kind of guy that, you know, when you would meet him in a convention like this who thinks, you know, you owed him because you were in his presence.
Yeah.
So, you know, be blessed that he's looking in your direction. You know, and then, but as it goes on, you see him develop, you know, relationships with the crew that's just real adorable, actually.
I do. I will give you that. It seems like some of the characters aren't very three-dimensional. I feel like the side characters are more dimensional, like Garrick and Odo.
Oh, they were more interesting.
Like, those are my favorite characters. The Starfleet characters I didn't care about until, like, way later in the series. But, like, all the side characters are the ones that always kept me coming back.
Oh, yeah, you kept wanting to know more. Why are you here? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you sitting down?
The cop and robber thing with Quark and Odo was always fun.
Oh, my God.
That was, like,
that's
the one thing that keeps you coming back to season one, because that's the only great thing about the first season.
They worked really well together. They really played off each other well.
Absolutely.
And Arvin Shimerman really brought Quark to life, and he really put that extra into it.
You remember the first time he was in Star Trek? Remember?
I know he was in Next Gen.
Yes.
I don't remember the episode. I've seen him, and I said, hey, that's Quark!
I think the first time he shows his face, he's the speaking chest that Loxana steams up.
Okay.
He's like got that silver face on. And then he also plays one of the early Ferengis.
Right.
Just one of the random guys on the planet that's there.
He really brought Quark to life. And I enjoyed Quark a lot.
Yeah. I want to see Armin Shimerman come back for anything in Star Trek. And give him a guest star role in Discovery. Give him something. I love Armin Shimerman. He's so great. How about Orville? Have you checked that out yet?
I'm enjoying it.
I've only seen the first episode so far, and I thought it was pretty solid.
It's very obviously the Star Trek ripoff. You've got all the same characters, but a lot of the inner conflict they have is really interesting. Putting the ex-wife as the first in command. The racist robot who's, he's not Data, but he's... You know, the whole race is racist to anybody who's not them.
Yeah, I think that's funny.
You know, your helmsman, his old buddy, and Borak, the same-sex couple, they had a baby, and, you know, the big thing was how to handle the gender, because the baby was born a female, and they're an all-male race.
Yeah.
So that brought... You know, the moral decisions and, you know, well, this one changes his mind. I thought that was brilliant doing that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I need to catch up on it. I'm still behind.
It's good. It's funny. It's good. It's not forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it was surprisingly solid. I was expecting to be a lot more cheesy than it was. It actually worked really well. And it had heart to it, and it was serious when it needed to be. Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for talking about
my
Star
pleasure.
Trek.
My pleasure. Find me. I'm the Buffalo
nice
Penguin
to meet you.
On Facebook.
Nice to meet you too.
The what?
I'm the Buffalo Penguin.
The Buffalo Penguin?
Yes. I normally cosplay as Penguin. I was here all day yesterday as Penguin.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I think I saw you.
And Red Skull is just a one of my many other cosplays. So
that's fantastic.
Yep.
Well, yeah, check them out. Anything you need to plug?
Yep. My primary persona is Steampunk Harley, and you can find me at steampunkharley.com. You'll see all my costumes up there and all the appearances and places I've been going and the people I've been seeing.
Awesome. Fantastic. We'll put this up soon and let you know.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Glad to talk to you.
It's a pleasure talking with you.
I'm David here at the Buffalo Comic Con. I'm here with JD.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
So, having a good time at the con?
Absolutely.
You stopped by the Nerdonomicon table, which I'm actually sitting at today while they're trying to get some interviews. And you've seen Star Trek Discovery, the first episode.
Yes.
Fantastic. What's up?
Well, one, this pen is awesome. Two, I have not seen Discovery yet, but I really want to. How was the first episode?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. It's excellent. But
I really
there's good
the
and bad and ugly. Okay?
What's ugly about it?
What's ugly?
Yeah, tell us.
They changed the Klingons.
Yeah,
completely.
I heard about that.
Completely.
Like, I don't mind.
And they never explained why.
Well, we've only gotten two episodes, so maybe we've got 13 more
right
for them to try to explain the Klingon. So maybe we'll get it. Episode 4 is supposed to have, like, a Klingon dinner, so maybe we'll hear them talk about what's going on in the Empire and why none of them have flat heads.
But well, the Klingons and the Federation were in a war with each other before TOS, correct?
Yeah, and so this is before TOS. This is
maybe that's their wartime. The maybe that's their wartime.
They had 100 or 200 years of peace. Well, I think it was 200 years of peace.
I think they said it's been 100 years since they've had heavy interaction with the Klingons.
Right.
So I guess the Klingon augment virus with Archer was the last time we really got a lot of interaction from Federation and Klingon, which I thought was kind of weird. I'm like, if they try to do another prequel and put it in between Enterprise and Discovery and not have the Klingons, that'd be kind of weird. Hopefully they'll go forward instead of backwards.
Yeah.
The only thing that bothered me about the Klingons was they didn't have any hair. Like, if they just had eyebrows, that would have been fine. Like, I think the makeup's beautiful.
If they were another race.
I
love the Klingon idea.
But they speak in Klingon, so that's great.
Yes. That's the only thing they're doing that's Klingon. And they're being deceitful, as they always are.
Yes.
Always.
All right, what about the good?
The good. Okay, I like the captain. I think she's great.
Oh, Sequoia.
Yes. Yes.
I am very...
Sinequa Martin?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am a big fan of Walking Dead, and I am very excited to see her in a... Not just a supporting role, but a leading role. Because I think she's very capable.
She's good.
She's good. And stuff like that.
She's kind of a female Kirk, because she puts herself out there where she should.
She does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry, what was your name?
Savannah.
Thank you, Savannah. I just wanted to have your name on it here as well.
Okay, now.
All right.
The aggravating thing about it. We have to pay for it. Why?
Yeah, that's...
Why?
That's a lot of people's...
Why?
I think part of the why is because of the way it looks. It looks better than any other TV show.
It does.
Seen.
It has a very nice movie feel to it. But we pay for every streaming service out there.
Yeah.
Why don't they just do it on Channel 4 and give it to us for free?
Oh, I'm hoping that part of the reason it's on a pay channel is so they can make things a little bit more brutal. Especially with the Klingons.
Yeah.
Because before, I mean, I don't know if you remember, like... Blood Oath.
Blood Oath,
Where they're running around and, like, they stick a bat left in front of a guy and, like, slit
absolutely,
his throat.
Man.
And there's no blood, the bat left
is
clean. Like, I'm hoping maybe they can go a little bit more brutal.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it's behind a paywall, so they can use more blood and guts.
Have to be loving Walking Dead.
Yeah.
If there's not enough blood on that for you, there's not enough blood in the world, man.
Well, I just don't think Star Trek needs it all the time, but if there's Klingons,
Klingons.
I think it could warrant it.
They were a warrior race.
Yeah, so it should.
They lived for war. They lived for killing.
Don't tell him anything. He has too much stuff.
Oh,
no,
stop it.
We're talking about Star Trek.
This is my wife.
Hi. He has too much of everything.
What's your name again?
My name's David.
David. JD. My wife, Marianne.
Hi. Good to meet you.
David.
What does that do?
This is recording.
He's
We're
actually recording right now.
I do a Star Trek podcast.
Tell him what you thought of Discovery.
Yeah, what did you think?
of Discovery. Oh, I loved it. Awesome.
Beautiful.
Yes,
but we still don't want to pay for it.
I'm paying for it because I've been podcasting about it. I'll be watching the next episode, and I'll be podcasting about it tonight.
How was the second episode?
The second episode was good. That's where all the payoffs happen. Like, she gets thrown in the brig, and then, like,
what?
Battle ensues. And it's
really?
It's amazing.
Really?
It's really good.
So it sounds cool.
I'm really enjoying it, yes.
Because I'm really a Star Trek original person.
Oh, yeah?
I really am. I couldn't get into the other ones. I know my kids love the other ones, but I just couldn't get into them.
She's old school.
I'm Star Trek original.
I'm right from the beginning of Star Trek.
All the movies, you know. I mean, I cried when Leonard Nimoy died.
Yeah.
For real.
I did, too. I was at work. It was miserable. I worked a 12-hour job at that point. Leonard Nimoy died, and I was just crying. I was at work, and it was... kind of sad.
Yeah.
So you do like the new one?
I do, but I've liked all of them. So, I mean, I'm not, I don't exclude anything. Voyager's my least favorite of the bunch.
Yes, I would agree with that.
But
I like some of Voyager.
Huh?
I like some of Voyager.
I mean, some of Voyager's good.
I even like the Enterprise.
If it's a Doctor episode, if it's a Seven of Nine episode.
I love the Doctor. Yeah.
Right. The Doctor is brilliant. Robert Picardo and
yes.
Jerry Ryan was
yes.
brilliant.
Yes.
But some of the other characters I didn't care for.
Right.
But, I mean, so far Discovery, it feels like a prequel. Like, I've seen two episodes, and it feels like I still haven't seen anything yet.
Okay.
Because you've only met, like, Saru and Michael Burnham. And they're the main two characters who will be
you
all the episodes.
You haven't seen the whole thing?
We haven't met the whole cast. Because they go to a new ship.
Oh, you're talking about Discovery.
Yeah, Discovery. So
right.
in Discovery, you don't even meet the whole cast until episode 3 or later.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, like, there's a new captain we're going to be seeing.
Right.
There's new officers
hey,
everywhere.
Right.
She's a Star Trek Next Generation.
Next Gen.
Next Gen?
You know what she looks like from Z Nation? Come on. You watch Z Nation?
I've not seen Z Nation.
No.
I've never seen Z Nation
Got
either.
You, man. You are like a spitting image of the girl. She carries like a baseball bat with spikes on it.
Negan?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that's Walker.
No, she's not Negan. No, that's right. Well, they got the idea for Negan.
Yeah.
Well, Z Nation's
well,
awesome.
Well, Negan was in the comics for Walking Dead
yes.
a long time ago. The
yes.
comics are awesome.
Nasty, yeah. nasty character.
Listen, I watched Walking Dead right up until Glenn, and after Glenn, you know what? I can't watch a show that's actually going to make me sob like that.
You want to hear something that might make you feel better? Glenn may be coming back.
He can't come back. He's dead.
Well, this is the latest scuttlebutt.
I'm just not a fan of The Walking Dead. It just repeats over and over again.
Yeah,
well, I like the first season of Walking Dead,
and
then the second season
it's
was
fantasy.
Super slow,
they can do whatever
and
they
the
want.
Third season was slow. But yeah, like I stopped after the third season.
It's just like the same thing happens over and over again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
But
there's a bad guy, they lose their home, they're on the street, then they find another home.
And then another bad guy kicks them out.
David, it was a real pleasure.
It was really good talking to you. Thank you
okay.
so much for talking with
God
me about Star
you.
Trek. Thank you.
Okay, buddy.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we're here with Don Jackson. You've heard him before on our past Comic-Con episodes here at Buffalo Comic-Con. And
how you doing, folks?
Doing good.
Don Jackson here.
Holly was just asking. Holly's here with me, too.
Hey, guys.
And
so I'm just asking, what kind of art you do?
Well, right now I'm focusing on doing caricature portraits. I do caricature drawings over the summers at Darien Lake. I don't know how wide your listenership is, you know, if it's just Western New York or
people
beyond.
Darien Lake's
okay.
like a amusement park in this neck of the woods.
Right, right.
I do
comics as well and all kinds of freelance artwork, you know, graphic design, whatever. You know, when you're an artist, it's like being a chef. You
yeah.
can't just make one thing. You got to be able to diversify and,
yeah.
and, you know, please your clients, etc. But comics is really my thing. That's what I'm really loving. So
okay.
I guess people could find me online. There's a site that I publish called brainboy.webs.com,
uh-huh.
and that's part of something published with Indelible Comics. Back in the 50s and 60s, there was a comics company called Dell, D-E-L-L, Comics, at like the computer. Anyway, it's all
that's
public.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, I know. It's all public domain comics, and so we're kind of rehashing that stuff
yeah.
and bringing it back. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
So, Search and Discovery has been on. I know you haven't seen it yet. We talked about this off the air.
Yeah.
But are you still looking forward to it? Are you going to start watching it?
For sure, for sure. Michelle Yeoh, I don't know what her how to pronounce her last name. She's the...
I call her Michelle Yeoh.
Michelle Yeoh, okay. Michelle Yeoh. I'm a huge fan of her as an actress, so...
Don't get attached.
I know. Well, I have a massive crush on her, so that's part of it. But I actually lived in Asia for 5 years, too, so I have, like, a huge background in Chinese culture, et cetera. So
fantastic.
And she's very, very well-known. She kind of came up through, like, the Hong Kong kung fu scene, you know, kung fu movies and stuff, so...
Crouching Tiger.
And she's been around a long time. Ironically, she was a dancer, though, before she got into doing kung fu movies. Yeah, it's very graceful.
Especially when she's younger.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing her dance now. I'm just saying, I could definitely see it when she's younger and how that would transfer over to her martial arts.
I think she can carry a role really well. She's...
fantastic in Star Trek Discovery. I'm just sad we're probably not going to see a whole lot of her.
Oh, I know. Now, what's the score with the whole payment system for watching this? Can you explain that to me a little bit?
At CBS All Access, they have two tiers. They have a $5.99 tier for watching with commercials.
Okay.
And they have a $9.99 tier for watching without commercials.
Oh, okay. Does it come with, like, a bag of potato chips or something? Or
nope. It's online only.
Bag of popcorn.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, my thing is, like, I'm going to vote with my dollar. When Star Trek's on, I'll pay for it. When it's off, I'm going to stop paying for it. And then hopefully it'll encourage them to make more Star Trek or put it somewhere else, hopefully.
Right.
That's my hopes and dreams, that they'll either make more and have multiple series so that there's not a long wait between each season. That way, you know, you get a season of one show for a couple months and a season of another show for a couple months.
Do you think it's going to be online for free in, like, 6 months or something like that? Or
I don't,
you know how those things go,
don't know. I mean, a lot of times some stuff goes on, like, right onto, like, Netflix, like, right before the new season starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're saying the next season might not even come out to 2019.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, like, even if it does come to a different platform later, it'll probably be much later.
Well, I'm switching the tables here. I'm asking you the questions.
Right.
So, I wanted to know, I asked you before, is there a subtext or some kind of a message that you think this Star Trek is coming across with? Does it have any...
So far, it's just war.
Yeah.
War is the main...
That's
theme,
like the theme.
Of the show, although it gets pinned on, you know, Martin Sequoia Green's character, Michael Burnham. It gets pinned on her, although I have a feeling it was inevitable the way the show was portrayed it. So war is happening, but the idea is to get over the war after the first season and then move on to other things in the second season. That's what they're talking about loosely, but... Right. Season 2 has not been officially greenlit, as far as I know.
Oh, wow.
As far as the writers and producers know, as far as I've seen.
I see. Yeah, wow. So, well, I'm definitely going to check it out when I get a chance. I guess I'm...
Episode 3 comes on tonight. I can't wait.
Really? Awesome. Well, you guys enjoy yourself.
I'm so excited.
Hopefully they can get that free bag of chips to you in time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Or like some popcorn flavored jelly bellies.
Oh my gosh, you know what you're talking about. You're a professional, huh?
I'm not a fan of gelatinous based candies.
I'm gelatinous enough, so I'll end it right there.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us, Don.
You guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks,
you too.
All right, we're here at the Buffalo Comic Con still, even. And I'm speaking with
Sid. You're speaking to Sid.
Sid?
Yep.
Nice to meet you, Sid.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, you came up and said you love Star Trek. You were asking about Synthaholics and Star Trek. You've seen Discovery.
I have seen the first two episodes, yes.
What do you think?
I loved it. I mean, I have read the criticism that it's kind of like The Expanse in some sort of way, but I'm just thinking about the mindset the people have in that kind of timeline. They are meeting Klingons after 100 years. Yes, that is plot. That is a plot gimmick, but...
That does seem kind of strange, that Archer ran into him 100 times just with the NX-01. There's been a whole bunch of new ships, and they've never run into Klingons.
Exactly.
It is kind of strange.
It is kind of strange, and given the fact that Klingon race was saved by the Federation...
Yeah.
That's what they said. That's what they say in Enterprise. The fact that the Klingon... But still, you have them in the middle of war with Federation. Federation has just lost one of its biggest battles against the Klingons.
Yeah.
And obviously, the mindset... in Deep Space Nine, during the Dominion War, we were able to see at what lengths that human morality was able to dive just to save themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I think that that's the same thing. That's the same thing that's going on with Discovery, and she's not a... And moreover, she's not a Vulcan. What's her name?
Michael Burnham?
Michael Burnham. She's not a Vulcan either. So
but she still looked up to her adoptive dad more than she did to Amanda, I guess.
But yeah. You can... All right, you can train a cat to be a dog, but it won't become a dog.
You know, I think she and Cybok traded Katras because Cybok became super emotional human, and she's trying to be a super logical Vulcan.
No, I think she's a really good mixture between logical and emotional. She is using emotions a lot, but at the end of the day, she is using logic to back up those emotions. She's passionate. She was really passionate about firing at those Klingon ships, but she did not. But she used logic. She used sound logic to find why she is doing what she is.
She did, and I didn't understand why even after she got out of the brig, her captain was still kind of like, I don't know why you turned on me.
That's because again, if you are following the plot line of meeting Klingons after 100 years, you really don't know what to do. You really don't know what to expect. So the best thing you can do is follow Federation protocol. Calls. Never fire first. That's what you have to do. I think that's the main reason behind why she did not fire first. It's Federation protocol.
No, but I mean after the firing started, and Michael gets out of the brig, and Captain Giorgio is still upset that she betrayed her, and I'm like,
I'll let you get out of here.
She told you.
She had good logic.
Again, she does not know Klingons as well as Michael Burnham does. I mean, Mike Burnham has suffered personal loss at the hand of Klingons, so I think there's another thing there to add to that.
Absolutely. Do you have any predictions for episode 3 coming up tonight? Are you excited?
I'm really excited. I'm excited indeed. But I think right now, obviously, she's going to be promoted to captain, and I think we're going to see a new ship.
From prison to captain in one episode?
I mean, they don't have any other option. She's
going to be the captain.
Who?
Lorca.
Lorca is the science officer?
No, that's Saru. Captain Lorca, he's the guy we haven't met yet. The captain of Discovery. I do think he will die and she will get a field promotion at some point.
She's
not sure if it's this season or not.
I still feel that she's a main character of the show.
She is.
She is a main character of the show, right? She's the lead. Sure. Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking. What's your favorite Star Trek series of all time, though?
Deep Space Nine. Love Deep Space
give it
Nine.
To her.
Boom.
I just love how... I mean, even though they are talking about human morality a lot...
The Pale Moonlight.
I did not... I mean, I was shocked. Garrick was my favorite after that.
I love Garrick.
After that, Garrick just became my favorite.
And that's Duet.
It. And the...
With the Butcher of Galatap.
And Quark. Never forget Quark.
I love Quark. Quark and Odo, I love their dynamic. It's like cops and robbers.
That's so true. All right, I think these guys are getting bored now.
All right, thank you so much for talking with me, Syed.
I would have used my right hand, but you don't want to shake my hand. Right.
You have a good one.
And that was our Buffalo Comic Con episode. We hope you liked all that. We had a great time. Our guests were fun. Lots of fun opinions about Star Trek and wonderful, wonderful guests. Some of the celebrities we had, Holly Wolf and the Harp Twins. They were absolutely fantastic to talk with.
Pretty cool. And we enjoy meeting all these people and getting to talk. And I know you get to, you're the one who's doing all the footwork for this. I'm usually stuck behind the table. So,
yeah, it's just great. Like, you know, meeting people in the nerd culture and just being part of that group instead of just being like, oh, I go to a con, but I'm like, it's kind of like being part of it, like, you know, being a podcaster and trying to get other people's thoughts and opinions on everything as well. So we hope you had fun with that. And all our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or at Warp 11 on Twitter. Our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. Personally, you can find me at David_J_Duncan on Twitter. And our show is at Synthaholic Duo on Twitter.
And I'm at Blackbird 2004.
You can rate and review us on iTunes. Stars are great. If you want to leave those, that'll be so much help to us because the more people that find us, the better it is for us.
The more happiness happens.
Exactly. Yes. And more people that finds us, the more happiness will spread around to those new people. So it's a win-win for everybody if you go and take a couple minutes and review us on iTunes.
What, don't you like happiness?
Yeah, I like happiness.
Be happy?
Exactly.
Just rate and review. If you have a chance, if you could go on to Patreon, patreon.com/synthaholics. If you could throw any amount of money that you could our way, we definitely appreciate it. Just help us keep the podcast going, the our electrical bills going, and that one light that we need to replace in our recording studio.
Exactly.
And that small little
it's closet. Flickering right now.
Yes. And that moth keeps flying around like a vulture.
It's going to kill us. All right. Well, it's going to put holes in my sweater.
Oh, my God. But yeah, if you could throw anything our way, we'd definitely keep the moths at bay. It would be wonderful. And also just tell your friends about Synthaholics. Word of mouth is a wonderful way to get the show around. Let people know what we do and what we're about.
All right. Well, yes, that would be fantastic. Thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. And we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I